Good morning, Professor Klamm.
Good morning.
What exactly makes your approach different from other studies which claim to assess how useful various language skills are?
Well, let me start by saying that different lines of work are mutually complementary. They just approach the questions at hand from different angles. But I think what makes our approach different, and when I mean our, I mean just, not just myself, but the whole research team, what makes our approach different is that we work from the perspective of economics. And economics doesn't mean that we are only interested in money and material values, quite the contrary, but economics provides you with a framework for analysis which is pretty robust. And I would think this is the main type of what makes our work different, is this use of economics as a structuring paradigm to look at reality. Now, it's not the only difference, because, of course, by using economics, we can address a range of topics that others usually don't look into. And then finally, I think what also makes our work specific is that we use quantitative data, we use statistics, whereas much of the work on languages, whether in Switzerland or elsewhere, by the way, that makes no difference, much of the work on languages is based on anecdotes, on very specific cases, whereas what we try to do with data using representative samples is to have things, just come up with things that have general validity. So in these three ways, I would think that we make a specific contribution.
Can you summarize what you found exactly in terms of how economically viable it is? For example, for French-speaking Swiss to learn German, or for Swiss Germans to learn French?
All right. Well, we have several sets of data that were collected at different times over the years. But essentially, we see a very pretty complete picture emerging. As regards the value for individuals of learning in another language, both French for German speakers and German for French speakers in Switzerland generate a wage premium on average of 14%, and that is holding education and work experience constant. So a person who's got that other national language earns a premium of 14% either side of the language border. As regards English, it pays better in German-speaking Switzerland with a premium of 18%, whereas it's an average premium of only 10% in French-speaking Switzerland. But what I'm saying generally, and that's the core message that I try to keep reminding people of, is that if both national languages and English are profitable. And when I hear some people, just like I read in Le Temps yesterday, some people saying, oh, German speakers do not benefit at all from learning French, I'm saying, no, absolutely not. They get a premium of 14%, and that's pretty good. Not many investments offer you that much.
The argument about learning second and third languages in Switzerland has sometimes been divided between defenders of minority languages, who often also oppose the spread, what they call the spread of English, and then the seemingly pragmatic or business approach, which advocates English as essential for modern professional life. But your study seems to show it's a lot more complicated than that.
Well, yes, it is a bit. I think this divide between two sets of languages is completely artificial. If you simply look at the rates of return, which you can approach from the perspective of individuals or from the perspective of society as a whole, remembering that society pays money, through taxes and through the education system for people to learn foreign languages, including our other national languages. Now, if you take all these things in, and if you just do the accounts, and we've got procedures for that, we just show that learning languages in addition to English, whether you learn them before or after is a separate question, but learning languages other than English is simply profitable. So confining yourself to one language only is, if it's English or if it's a national language, is a loss of a quite substantial return.
Your research also suggests that English will become more and more common as a skill. More people will learn it, and therefore it will carry less value. So it seems we're moving towards a point where professionals, at least in Switzerland, will need to be trilingual in order to be competitive. Is that true?
I would qualify this a bit, but essentially, I would, of course, never discourage anyone from learning English, not just for financial reasons, but also for kinds of cultural reasons. I mean, for example, the access it provides to a thriving multinational literature. By the way, my favorite authors write in English, be they Canadian, Irish, American, South African. I mean, much of what I read right now comes from there. So, but at the same time, confining yourself to English would be a loss. And that's why I would certainly, as you say, advocate trilingualism. By the way, you find the exact same thing in the Brussels area. Some colleagues in Belgium have surveyed the need of businesses for foreign language skills in the Brussels area, and they find that they've got plenty of people who have French and English, or plenty of people who've got Dutch and English. But what they need, and what they find very what is very difficult to find, is people who have French, Dutch, and English. And I think in Switzerland, it's going to go the same way. You'll need English, at least for the time being, as long as English is in this pivotal position. And but you also need at least one more language to make a difference, because when everybody has English as a second language, I'm not saying everybody will, but I mean a large proportion of people do, but when many people have this competence, it becomes kind of banal, and then employers will stop rewarding you just for having this. They will reward you for having additional skills. That's why I say, well, great, learn English, but just don't limit yourself to that.
Right. And I suppose, as a country, does Switzerland actually, is it more competitive on the world stage, the more educated, the more languages that its people have?
Well, I mean, generally, what you find in international comparisons is that human capital, that is the average level of learning, skills, education, training, call it what you want, generates a major comparative advantage in international trade. So yes, skills make people more competitive. Whether specifically language skills make people more competitive, we can only assume so for two reasons. First of all, it is a human capital, a component of human capital that's very important. And in the case of Switzerland, we have been able to estimate the contribution of multilingualism to about 10% of GDP, which is, you know, sizable. You know, you can break down GDP in terms of, you know, what part comes from capital, what parts come from generic skills, what part comes from, for example, language skills. And in Switzerland, as I said, about 10%. Now, in other countries, well, there is very few countries where you have the data to make similar calculations. So we can only suppose that what applies in Switzerland also applies quite generally, namely that language skills are a very important part of human capital, and being a part of human capital, that they do contribute to international competitiveness.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there, but thank you very much for joining us.
You're most welcome.
That was Professor Francois Grin from the University of Geneva.